Generally speaking, I am not an incredibly patient person. I hear some chuckles. I imagine that's because you may not be as well. And I have indeed, I think, been ruined in my patience. I think it's natural, but I think I've been indeed ruined in my patience by the internet, and in particular by Amazon Prime. Right? There is something, I've grown up with the internet. It hasn't been there my whole life, so I remember kind of the early days of the internet with dial-up and how it has gotten faster and faster, but it can never be fast enough for me. So I don't know about you, but I get aggravated probably too much when internet connection runs a bit slow. Those of you, many of you know that we are Pittsburgh Penguins fans, and of course their games aren't broadcast locally very often. So we have taken the step of subscribing to the plan where you can watch them over the internet, right? And so anytime we watch them, it has to be over the internet connection as we're watching. And I get so aggravated when right in the middle of the action, all of a sudden it starts to buffer, right? Buffer is a dirty word in my mind now, right? All of a sudden it says uploading not happening, and I get really frustrated when I don't get to watch that, right? So the internet has ruined me. Amazon Prime has definitely ruined me. It's amazing to me how much I've gotten used to being able to click a few buttons, and then a couple days later, some nice person hands me whatever I wanted a couple days earlier, which is really nice of them. But it drives me crazy when that two-day window at least comes close to or does pass entirely. Earlier this week, I had ordered something that was supposed to be delivered by 8 o'clock on Wednesday evening, and I can tell you that at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, I was looking for that package, and 8 o'clock came and went, and Wednesday came and went, and of course, I knew nothing was coming on Thursday, and I was more aggravated than I should have been that these things that were completely inconsequential to my life had not showed up when they were supposed to show up, right? None of this was really all that important, but I've grown so used to being able to get these things so quickly. My patience is not the best. I'm not the most patient person. That was true even before internet and before Amazon Prime. On a more positive note, one of the things that I've always had the hard time being patient with is when people would come visit. I don't know if you share this as well, but even as a kid, if I knew somebody was coming, family members or friends or whatever, I couldn't wait for that doorbell to ring or for that time when we thought they were going to show up to come. And it's still true today. If somebody is coming to visit and I know that they're coming at a certain time, about an hour out or so, I start to get really excited and really anxious. And I can't help but pace back and forth past the window and past the door. And every car I hear, I look to see if it's them. If it's the evening and the headlights are coming down, every set of headlights, I wait to see if they slow down, right? And it always throws me off when our neighbors come home. So they slow down and I think, oh, they're here. And then they turn into somebody else's driveway, right? That's one of the upsides to having some impatience is it makes me really excited to when people come to visit, even though I get kind of impatient with that. There is one time where having not a lot of patience, I think, is somewhat a good thing for me. I actually love vacation, right? Anybody here love vacation, right? And I love holidays, right? And I love looking forward to those things, right? For me, it ends up being somewhat of a carrot hanging out in front of me, that there's some sort of a vacation or holiday or special event that's coming up. And what I've learned in my life, especially as I've gotten a little bit older, is I've come to love the anticipation as much, if not more so, than the reality of the event or of the time, kind of a vacation, to the point where I love having that week of vacation off in the distance in the summer. We're going to the beach in July, right? And I'm looking forward to it for months and months and months. And our family, we're planning out way out ahead who's cooking what, who's bringing what, when are we traveling, those sorts of things. The anticipation builds, and I love that. What I've found is as soon as the vacation starts, as soon as the holiday starts, I start to dread actually being in the moment. Because I've been looking forward to it for so long. It's been so nice to have something out there in front of me. As soon as it starts, I'm really not looking forward to it being over, right? Because then I don't know what I'm going to start looking forward to next. I kind of like the waiting for the vacation or for the holiday or for the special event because it gives me something really to get excited about and really to look forward to. And then when the moment hits, I'm not nearly as excited about it as I thought I would be, because now I want to know what the next thing I can look forward to is, and what the next thing I can look forward to is, right? Waiting is something I've always kind of wrestled with, whether it's been for the internet or for Amazon Prime or for a vacation. Waiting is something that puts me in a place where I'm not as comfortable as I usually am in other places. But waiting is what Advent is all about, and we are in the season of Advent. This is the season of waiting for us. In the more immediate time frame, in the more immediate future, we are waiting to celebrate Christmas, to gather together here in this sacred space and to sing the songs we love to sing. If you come to the early service on Christmas Eve, to yell, "Yo, sheep," and those sorts of things, right? To hear what our choir has been putting together for so long, to hear the story of the birth of the Savior of the world, and to remind one another of how important that was and is and forever will be for all of God's people, for all of God's children. We look forward to December 25th coming, and the 24th and 25th, and what that will mean for us, gathering with family and friends and sharing our gifts with one another and having that special time with one another. This is a time of waiting and ultimately preparing ourselves for that celebration and for that remembering and for that reminding of one another. But Advent is more than just a preparation for the Christmas celebration. It is also the time where we remember with one another and remind one another that when Jesus died on the cross and when Jesus was raised from the grave and when Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of his Father, that was not the end of the story. For when Jesus ascended, Jesus promised to return again, and in his return to usher in the new heaven and the new earth. So it is that during Advent, we look forward to Christmas, but we also in this time look forward to that promised return of Jesus Christ. We know not the day or the time the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night, but we continually look forward to the time when Jesus will return and in a way make everything right again with us and with the whole world. We look forward to that time. But of course, we've been looking forward to that time as the people of God for thousands of years since the promise was made, and each generation wondering if it would be the generation that would be the last, if they would be the generation to get to see the return of Christ. We still don't know when that will happen, and so we still wait. We wait for Christ to return. But the thing that happens with waiting when you have to do it over and over again and longer and longer and longer is it becomes more and more difficult to do. Waiting is hard work, especially when you've waited 2,000 years, right? What if the package doesn't come on Wednesday at 8 or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday? Never comes. What if that internet video is just stuck and buffering and buffering and buffering and buffering and buffering, right? What if vacation, even if you're looking forward to it, what if it never actually comes? What if you're seemingly stuck in the perpetual state of waiting, which is where we have been as a people of God for 2,000 years, waiting and waiting and waiting? It can be so hard, and we can lose sight of the importance of it. We can lose sight of the fact that the promise was made, and our God is faithful, and our Lord will return, even though it has been so terribly long. But the other thing that's true about waiting and waiting and waiting for a long, long time, not only is it difficult, but because it's difficult, it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous because when you've waited and waited and waited for so long and not been given what you were promised, you may be tempted to settle. You may be tempted to settle for something less than what you were promised. You may be tempted to settle for something less than Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You may be tempted to fill that space, that void in our lives and in our hearts that has not been filled quite yet with other things, with other people who can never live up to the expectation that only Christ can live up to, with things, material possessions that can never fill that void, with wealth, or the quest for power, or influence, or status. The great Christian writer Frederick Buechner, in his book Secrets in the Dark, I think puts this in ways that I never could, and I'd like to share his words with you. He says, "The danger is that we'll say yes too easily. that will say it, because all these centuries the church has been saying it, and because for years we have been saying it ourselves. To say yes too easily, too much out of old habit, is to say it as if we really know who Jesus is, as if he is somehow our Jesus. He is not ours. If anything, we are his. There is a danger in having to wait as long as we've had to wait. The danger is that we will settle, we will say yes too easily. I think in our most honest moments, we confess that we have done exactly that. In our waiting and not seeing that return, we have allowed other things or other people to step into that void that can only really be filled by Christ and by Christ alone. That is true in our individual lives. It is true in our corporate lives as well. We are tempted time and time again to say yes too easily, to settle for anything less than that which is promised, which is nothing short of Christ and Christ alone. The waiting is hard and it can be dangerous. And here's what's true about it too. The waiting is not confined to 4 weeks. The waiting is not confined to one season that we call Advent, or even to the Christmas season that follows that. The waiting is a way of life for those of us who claim faith in Jesus Christ, who claim faith in the one who did promise to return and has yet to make that return. It is a way of life for us as the children of God. Buechner earlier in the chapter writes, "Faith is a way of waiting. Never quite knowing, never quite hearing or seeing, because in the darkness we are all but a little lost. There is doubt hard on the heels of every belief, fear hard on the heels of every hope, and many holy things lie in ruins because the world has ruined them and we have ruined them. But faith waits even so, delivered at least from the final despair which gives up waiting altogether because it sees nothing worth waiting for. Faith waits for the opening of a door, the sound of footsteps in the hall, that beloved voice delayed so long that there are times when you all but give up hope of ever hearing it. And when at moments you think you do hear it, if only faintly, from far away, the question is, can it possibly be, impossibly be, that one voice of all voices?" Faith is a way of waiting. We are a waiting people because we are a people of faith. It is not for one particular season. It is in season and out of season that we wait. And not passively, we wait actively. Because passively waiting allows for other things to steal in and fill that void that only Christ can fill. Our active waiting, our embracing of the waiting that we have been called to do as people of faith, is what keeps those other things from creeping in where only Christ can and should be. In this Advent season, we remind one another, I remind you today, of how important it is for us to wait, to not give up hope, to not say yes too easily, because faith is a way of waiting. And so we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we do not lose hope, because the promise that is made to us is made by none other than the one who came to be with us and for us, who came to give his life on the cross, to be raised from the grave, and to offer to us nothing short of life abundant and everlasting. And so we wait. We wait for that one in faith, this season and every season to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.